The goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that by interviewing some of the industry's best and brightest. In this episode, you will learn how Celeste Hubbard Breen broke into her first role in advertising and how she broke into her current role as president of Echo Studios. In addition, she highlights her advice from working at organizations including MTV, 72 and Sunny, Mother, and Echo Today. Echo is a modern content development and media production studio. They focus on sports and technology. They're also two-time Emmy nominated. So Echo Studios' unique talent sourcing model allows for bespoke and diverse creator and maker teams to be partnered with some of the world's best brands, including NFL, Under Armour, Google, Pinterest, Adobe, and more. All pretty great. And they're all in service of creating best-in-class, high-craft, and high-impact content. Celeste is a master of connections and client services. Celeste's story and advice are a must-listen for those looking to break into the account side of business. So if you're passionate about advertising and want to learn more about Echo, you can connect and speak with Celeste. And I'm happy to connect you, or you can reach out directly by accessing our master resource list. Our master resource list is on our website, www.breaking-entering.com, and includes Celeste's and every guest's contact info and resources they recommend just for you. Now, on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. All right. Hi, Celeste Hubbard Breen. Welcome to the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. I haven't recorded one of these in a while, so I might be a little rusty, but I'm so glad to have you on. You're so nice and you're so good at what you do at Echo Studios. Did I say that correct?
You said it right. Nailed it.
And tell us what your role is at Echo Studios, because it's a pretty important role, I would have to imagine.
It's something, all right. No, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's really awesome to meet you, and I kind of love talking about what I do and sharing what I do with others. So, yeah, I am the president of Echo Studios. And, you know, you hear that title thrown around a lot, and you know it's a certain level, if you will. But really what I'm so responsible for on the day-to-day is setting the vision for our studio, overseeing and executing a ton of just new business outreach, meeting new people, making connections for us in the industry, and really identifying the best talent to bring into our studio to execute the work and to have fun doing it, really.
Nice. Nice. So the vision, executing, makes sense. We've had on a bunch of ad agencies on this show, Breaking and Entering Advertising, mainly agencies, some client side. We have Spotify, Facebook, more. But studio, what's the difference? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, so we're a little bit unique because we sit in this space between production studios, your traditional production studio, as well as agencies. And the reason why I say we sit in between is because we have full team, full staff, full-time creatives on our staff. And then we also have and offer full realm of production services. So while we may have some clients that come in and they already know their script, they already know what they want to create and they need a production partner to do that with, we can partner with them on that type of assignment. Sometimes we have clients who have a brief, they've already executed the strategy, but they don't have the creative resources internally to then develop the script or develop whatever piece of creative that may be.
So you help them along the way there as well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Nice. So who have you worked with?
We've been really fortunate to have worked with some of the best brands in the world. Because Echo was born out of 72 and Sunny, we've been working with iconic brands from day one. So what that means is that originally Echo was 72 and Sunny's in-house studio. So every project that came our way was a project that was a 72 and Sunny client.
How did this breakup happen? I mean, is there still parallels?
It was all amicable and it's really not a breakup at all. So okay. Much as a division of our labor and resources to be two different entities and two separate.
Sounds like the opposite of all my past relationships. So that's good that that went well.
Yeah, I know. We're all thriving because of it, as I'm sure you know.
And do you still work with 72 and Sunny?
We do. We're all a part of the Stagwell network of companies, and 72 and Echo still work very, very closely together. But we more or less are working with primarily brands directly and their in-house studios and their in-house agencies. That's like an extension when they're looking to make more content that maybe they don't have their agency of record scoped out for.
Gotcha. I hear you. So what's some work? I know you guys have worked with NFL, Under Armour, Google, Pinterest, Adobe, and more. Mm-hmm. And you did say great clients. Those are great clients. But what's something you're really proud of recently that you like? Whether I know you started recently.
Mm-hmm.
So it can either be when you started or maybe like right before you started when you were like looking at it.
Well, I mean, I think from like a heritage perspective, the thing we're most proud of is some of the Google year in search work that we did earlier on. That's
yes.
Really yeah, we had some
those rock
Emmy nominations out of that. That's just like the starting point. That's kind of a high bar.
Yeah.
You're going after it. So
well, remind us. I know what that is because, you know, it's my job. But maybe some of the students out here, aspiring advertisers, don't understand what you're talking about just right away, which is perfectly fine. Yeah. But so give us like what's the Google year in review. Tell us about it.
If you all just remember, it's like, think of it, January, 31st of the year, usually, or the week prior, Google usually puts out a spot that kind of shows and encompasses what the top search terms and phrases were for the year. What were those really like pieces that hit the core of society that became, you know, either like insanely viral memes or moments, or were just, you know, immensely impactful to us as a culture and as a world. And they tie that all together in a really emotional film that demonstrates just how the users of Google, how all of us drove, you know, the trends and drove the coverage of a lot of those events and moments.
Love it. Do you work with Santi Pochet?
I don't.
Okay. He's the head of Google's social lab. And he did some of that work. He does some of that work too on Google's site. Google's obviously enormous. So mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Right. You know, yeah.
Some, one person. Right.
There's tons of little like pockets that we have the opportunity to work with. And maybe someday I'll cross paths with Santi.
And something that I thought also in addition to that, and along with your Adobe work and which is also great, but the NFL work you did on mm-hmm. your site right now, I don't know when it was done, but the Inspire Change for the NFL, where they donated $250 million to fight or end systemic racism.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic work. I mean, yeah. I love that. Tell us about that.
It's been really powerful. And again, another wonderful opportunity to work with the NFL by way of their relationship with 72 and Sunny. So 72 is the agency of record for the NFL. And so often Echo will be brought into opportunities to help sell an idea in. Maybe if we put a little prototype against it, it helps deliver the creativity of the idea. And sometimes we're brought in with as true partners. So some work that from last year, actually, that we got some wonderful recognition out of was the NFL is for Everyone campaign, where if you all recall, one of the primary players, Carl Nassib, you know, kind of came out last year, and the league really supported him. And we put together this message that really stood by him and stood by that kind of action of being oneself. And the league supported that by just saying, hey, it's for everyone. This isn't about anyone's sexuality or anything else. The game is for all.
Love that. Love that. So I want to understand this episode. First, we want to talk about you. I want to understand where Echo fits into the process, as we touched upon it. And then who might want to work at a studio like Echo? And how does somebody break into working in a studio, the different roles? Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of different routes within a studio like Echo, but those are the kind of topics I want to bounce around. And I guess where do you want to take it from?
Well, I'll start with the piece of advice first. And my advice to anyone looking to break into any career, frankly, or any business that they admire is to start paying attention to the things that you find attractive in that industry. So when I watch TV, I think about I pay attention to the spots. I don't fast forward to through them. You know, you have to really understand your craft no matter what industry you're in. So
sometimes it's so bad though, you have to fast. Sometimes, yeah.
It's good to know the bad ones. It's good to know where your taste lies and how to avoid, you know, that space in the future.
But true that.
That's what I did. I started paying attention to spots that I thought were hilarious early in my career. And at one point I realized they were all laddering back to 72 and Sunny. So that's how I even found 72. And I had already spent maybe less than 10 years in the industry, but I pretty much knew the lay of the land. But things are constantly changing. So you just have to be abreast of like who's behind the good stuff.
How do you find that out? If you see a good commercial, what are you doing? What's your process? You have to be resourceful in this industry.
Yeah. At this point, Google, Instagram, YouTube, like even following different hashtags, production or set life or things like that, you'll come across or people that have opinions on your industry, follow their work. And they tend to just kind of take you down the rabbit hole to find the source.
Oh, yeah. Immerse yourself, all social platforms, Google, Adweek, publications for sure.
Mm-hmm. And just other, you know, identify like the even the influencers in your segment or the people that know more than you. I have friends that I'll reach out to one of my friends in the industry and ask him who made a spot before I Google it. Cause I just know.
Oh, who is that? Cause I want him on the pod or her.
Actually, he'd be great. His name is Peter Jacobs.
Shout out.
Yeah, shout out Peter Jacobs. We actually worked together also back at 72 and Sunny, and now he's at Mullen. So,
oh, I don't have a Mullen guest. Good to know.
There you go. Got the in.
But yeah, I totally agree. You got to stay up to date. You got to know. You got to be a nerd of the industry, and it's a good thing. If you know the stuff, you're going to get hired.
Nerd gets like a bad rap sometimes, but I'm like, when you're a nerd, you're passionate about a topic. Maybe that everyone else isn't even passionate about at a level that you can deliver on, you know about. So,
well, I was still in college when I made this podcast, and I thought it was I was a little intimidated at first, and I was kind of nerdy to go all in. And then I calm myself down by saying it's cool to be good or to like something.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly. I think it's true.
I know sometimes we got to talk ourselves out of talking ourselves out of.
a lot goes on. A lot of thoughts, especially at nighttime.
Exactly.
But back to you. So I love that advice. But I want to know then, like, what was your first break into this industry? Like, that's the name of this podcast.
Yeah.
Or even before that, what made you say this is for me?
Well, my whole career, my whole life, I knew I wanted to work in a creative environment. But honestly, I can't draw for shit. Like, same. I'm pretty, you know, I can write a very comprehensive email or put a little bit of a story together. That's not where I'm trained. And what I realized was, you know what I'm pretty decent at and what I like is businesses. So if I can find a creative environment and be on the business side of that environment, that kind of satisfies all my interests and my strengths. And at some point I came across advertising as a course. I literally took one class in college and I was like, oh, this is it. You know, you get to work with
it all clicks.
Yeah. You get to hit all the marks. You get to work around incredibly talented and creative people.
And you went to Boston University, correct?
I went to Boston University. I did.
They got a good ad club there. I've spoken with them.
Yeah, they have a great communications department. I just happened to attend the School of Management, and I ended up being a finance major. So nice. I knew though, I was like, I will never wear a blue suit to work. So let me figure out what.
Yeah, well, maybe that finance helped you become the president. That's pretty important.
It's the only reason, even back then, I didn't know that this was a possibility for me professionally. But I knew what people in positions like this, what they did. I researched their backgrounds, what they studied. And I'm like, at the end of the day, if you want to be in business, you better know that money. So
yeah, that's what my dad told me. You're going to study accounting. And I went to study advertising. And it's all good.
But it all comes back around. Everyone should know their money. So
yeah. So you took a class and then you didn't even study it? Did you get any internships? How did you get into advertising then?
Well, so, you know, my first internship actually was in television at MTV, which back in my day was like equivalent to working at TikTok, I guess, for the younger folks.
Yeah.
But when I graduated, I was actually an athlete. I was a student athlete at college. So I spent a couple years coaching field hockey after I graduated. And one of my very good friends was working in HR at an ad agency. And so I hit her up and I was like, listen, I think this is what I want to do. I think this is what I could be good at. And she helped get me an interview. Like straight up.
How long were you coaching for? Was that what you're doing right out of school?
It was. Yeah. I played field hockey at a pretty competitive level, all the way up into like Olympic development training. So
you were pretty good.
I was all right. I did my thing.
Nice.
But after a while, it was a lot of impact on the on the knees and the back.
Sure.
And
I mean, I get sore running a mile.
I still feel the pain, but.
so you graduated, and so you didn't have, so you were doing, you were like, all right, I want to do coaching. I want to stay here, stick around, help my friends out. And what were you, so you're coaching for, and how long did that last?
I coached for 2 years, and then I actually picked up lacrosse as well, which is how my friend and I, who I've known, we've known each other since childhood, we ended up switching coaching jobs because her schedule as a HR person fit better to work at the lacrosse team than what my schedule at the time did. And then I was like,
was that an easy transition for you? Was that switching the sports up?
No, that's why I was like, let me go get a real job.
Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, would you have stuck around field hockey if you had the opportunity?
I mean, the opportunities were there, but I was ready to move into what I really knew my heart was driving me toward, which was a professional environment.
Well, look at that. I mean, the foreshadow there, you have to be a good leader to be the president, be a good coach. I guess you might have learned some valuable lessons in those 2 years.
Yeah, I think sport has always played a really significant aspect in my life and in how I approach life. I don't think just by the nature of being a competitive athlete, that's where I gained all my personal experiences, you know? So it's still something I apply in my work style today and in my approach to life. Gotta be competitive out there.
Gotta be, especially in those pitches. I don't know.
And willing to risk it all and sometimes lose, but bounce right back.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's important to talk about. Like, if we have any listeners that are athletes, whether it's club or, you know, you're doing it for university or however that might be, you can always put that into your narrative and, you know, show that off.
Someone told me, I remember when I learned about transferable skills, I think it may have really been in college, but there's so many there's so many aspects to life, especially as when you're starting out in your career, when you think you don't have experience, but really you've garnered so many skills by that time in life that can apply to the workplace. So whether that's taking orders at a restaurant, like I was a waitress, and that's freaking high pressure, and you have to remember a lot of things, and you have to be personable, and you know, you have to problem solve when the customer isn't happy. I still apply all those skills to what I do every day.
Transferable skills. Yeah. And they apply. And I think advertising is really welcoming to transferable skills. You don't need these there's really no hard skills. I mean, maybe when you get further into your career, but for entry level, that's what our conversation, let's focus on that.
Yeah.
We're okay hiring people with just some really interesting transferable skills, and wherever that may be from, it doesn't have to be, you know, from an advertising internship at an agency.
It's work ethic, I think. I mean, at a certain point, you hone your skill. No one comes into any profession with every skill or talent that they'll ever need. So don't try to be a perfectionist, but definitely aim to learn and hone whatever your skill needs to be for the career you're pursuing. So
let's talk about how you did this for this first, when you talked to this HR lady that you kind of knew. What was that process? What was the company again?
At Campbell Ewald.
Right. Because you had the internship at MTV, which was a TikTok back then, like you said. And still pretty notable brand. I know it's not as popular as it was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely notable at that time, but really I think what helped me land that job was coming in and being very just confident about what I would bring to the table and very curious at the same time, because you have everything to learn at that stage. You cannot walk in, you shouldn't walk into any room really and think you know the most in that room.
As an intern? Absolutely.
And not as an intern, and sometimes not even as a president, sure. Although you might have to act like it.
Okay.
It's good to be in rooms. You hear this all the time. Be in rooms where you're not the smartest there. Mm-hmm. That leaves plenty of opportunity to learn.
That's easy for me. So it's good to know. Okay, talk about, so what was going on that first break-in then at that first agency? Remind me the name.
Yeah. So at Campbell Ewald, mm-hmm. I started as an account coordinator. And really, it is entry level. That's the first rung in the account services, account management kind of track. Yep. And at that time, I worked on the Chevrolet account. And it wasn't always, you know, the sexiest projects, but it certainly was a ton of volume and very, very quick turnarounds. So it was also a time in life where, like, a year after I started, the most recent recession occurred. And so bailout was going on, and there was just a lot of attention on the automotive industry in particular. And they had a lot to achieve in the time frame that I was there. So I say also for anyone listening, sometimes it feels like, oh, crap, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. But those are often times where you find out a lot about yourself, where you're given a lot more opportunities as well, and where you can really shine and learn quite a bit in a short amount of time.
So, and what was that for you?
For me, it was just sticking it out. At one point, first of all, this was the career that moved me to Los Angeles. And that was my intent when I even first took on that job. I said, okay, they have an office in LA. Let me figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
Spent a year and a half focusing on my job and my role until something else opened up in Cali. When I moved to Cali, that's kind of where the recession and everything hit. And there was a time where I was the only account person on my level on my team. So I was servicing two or three other supervisors, and I worked insanely late nights. But at the end of that year, I was rewarded as the employee of the year.
Let's go.
I had gained a lot of exposure to other senior level clients, and I just kind of stuck it out.
That's gotta be a lot of pressure. Maybe that sports background really helps you out. Cause if I was the only one, and there was a lot riding on my position, and I was the only one there, and I don't know if I would be able to say the same thing.
It depends, you know. It's not for every occasion either, because I'm definitely not one that says, you know, suffer through something and then see the light at the end of the tunnel. You have to actually be able to see the light while you're in progress and know that that there's opportunity at the end of that challenge. And there was with this role. And there was a supportive group of individuals around me. So while I may have been the only person at my level, I still had, you know, the ear of the managing director whenever I needed him and people there to help me do what I needed to do.
Well, that's just a great work environment. And if you didn't have that, then you got to go somewhere else. If you don't have people supporting you, they're not trying, that might be a red flag. So your career then took off. And then you're in LA. And you took off in your career to be on the account track.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is good. I haven't had somebody on the account side in a while on the show, so it's definitely needed. What do you think are some of, like, I mean, what else happened in your career? What were those other foundational career moments, like one or two other career moments for you leading up to where you're at today?
Honestly, one of the biggest moments that happened for me in my time in LA was getting laid off.
Okay.
You know what?
Let's talk about it.
Talk about it. It was kind of post-recession and things were a little bit crazy, but I didn't let that stop me. You know, I got laid off from a role. I kind of like took a step back and said,
Where were you at?
I was at, am I going to let you know where I was at? Yeah, I'll let you know. I don't really care.
Yeah, come on.
No, I was at Team One, and they were responsible for Lexus at the time.
Sure.
And so, again, there was a lot of turmoil at that time. It was what it was. I stepped away, and I ended up, it was the most LA thing ever, to be honest, but I ended up meeting a guy who owned a gaming company, and he was looking for someone to support him, not only in like line producing his games, his video games, but also managing his personal financial assets.
Okay.
So the fact that I had come from a creative background with my advertising career to date, and I had this, you know, finance major, I was able to apply that into everything he needed. I worked with him for like 6 or 9 months.
Okay.
And at the same time, I didn't stop looking and making sure I was making myself a viable asset to my next endeavor. And so, long story short, I made a blog. I talked about tech. I talked about culture, a number of other things. And then, to what I mentioned earlier, I started paying attention to the creative work in the world that I really thought was great. Found 72 and Sunny. And lo and behold, I promise you, I didn't plan. I didn't do any reach out. I didn't plan any of this. But the same recruiter who had hired me at Team One called me about a role at 72 and Sunny. And because I had, you know, was a good employee in the first place and left in good standing.
Right. And you didn't say anything to burn any bridges.
No.
It's just it happens.
Exactly.
That competition, like, you know, I'm a sore loser sometimes.
I mean,
weren't. You had a good attitude. I mean, that can come from the sports as well.
That too, exactly. Kind of like it was what it was, and I moved on and improved myself for the next time. And because I continued paying attention to the industry and what was going on, I already was aware of 72 and Sunny when she called me. So I recognized the opportunity when it called.
What did she call saying? What'd she say?
It was like, she said, you're making me really work on my memory, but basically she was like, hey, I'm over at 72 and Sunny now. Have you heard of them? And are you looking? And I was like, yes and yes.
Yeah.
They're on Tuesday.
Can I start tomorrow?
Right.
What was the role? It was an account role. And what was the client?
Actually, it was a project manager role.
Okay.
And that was a new role that they were trying at the agency at the time. And keep in mind, at that point, 72 and Sunny was, when I started there, they were between like 60 and 80 employees. Okay. So they were like a small agency. And I really liked their culture. It was very young. It was very experimental. It was very collaborative. And for me on the account side, you know, I told you I'm not maybe the best drawer or the most creative writer, but I really do have a passion for creativity. And 72 and Sunny was the first agency I worked at that really brought all departments into the collaborative process treated and expected everyone to act as a creative, meaning they have opinions, they have insights, they should have a point of view on the work. You shouldn't just be sitting there evaluating the work and waiting for it to get to your part to pass it on to the next thing.
I was
very involved in that way. And that really, it really impacted my approach to work moving forward from there.
What's the difference between a project manager and an account manager?
Sometimes it depends on the studio. First of all, it depends on the agency, but more or less your project managers, it really depends on everything, but I'll say in my opinion, project managers are responsible for the resourcing and the timing and the workflow of the project. And account supervisors or account people are responsible for the relationship with the client. So ensuring that, you know, they understand their business needs and goals and that those insights are being addressed in the work as well.
Love it. I could not do a project manager role. I'm not organized enough.
That's
okay.
Everyone has their gifts.
And 72 and Sunny, fantastic agency. What's it at now? How many people are in there now?
That is a great question that I don't know offhand.
Nor should you. I was just thinking out loud. And then tell us about your how you got the mother then.
Right. Yeah. So, well, actually, funny story is that I, after about 10 years in Los Angeles, somewhere around my 8th year in LA, I actually met my now husband, who has always lived in Atlanta and lived in Atlanta while we were dating, you know, the whole long distance things.
What does he do?
He works in advertising.
Where?
So my husband has an agency. He's a partner and a co-owner of an agency called Chemistry Advertising.
I see something here that makes sense.
Yeah. So when I originally left LA and we were pursuing, you know, our relationship, and I moved to Atlanta, the thought was, you know, maybe I'll go work at some other agencies in Atlanta, maybe Fitzco or a couple others that are really creative down here. And at the same time, he was going into a merger with this entity, Chemistry, from his other entity, his other agency. And it was kind of like, well, why don't I bring my expertise to your company?
Nice.
And hopefully we won't kill each other and I'll work out. And crazy enough, it totally worked out. So
what's his role again?
He's CCO and partner at Chemistry Atlanta.
Okay. So when you were working there, you worked there for about 5 years?
Yeah, just about 5 years.
And your role there was what?
I was a
group account director.
Group account director, exactly.
And he was the chief creative officer or high up creative?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Look at that.
Yeah. So it was fun.
Was there animosity at times where you were saying, like, the client doesn't like this, we need to be more creative? Yeah. But, how'd that work out?
Well, I think the number one, and regardless of if you're married to your colleague or not, it starts with respect and respect for each other's talents and areas of expertise. So whenever he and I did have a disagreement, we always found a middle ground because someone always had a perspective that made sense and made the work better. Neither of us were ever coming from a point of view of, I just want to win the argument. And best partnerships always start with, like, we're all trying to solve the same problem.
Gotcha.
So, you know,
healthy.
Yeah. It just, again, regardless in marriage, in work, in both.
Yep. I love that. So you worked with him for 5 years.
Yeah. So we grew his agency over 5 years' time. They won small agency of the year 2 times while I was there. And then a 3rd time after I left. And honestly, I was not actively pursuing looking for other roles, but an opportunity came up with Mother LA as
they how did that go?
Well, I mean, they're a really great team over there. And again, I'm going to go back to
what did your husband say?
Oh,
that's what I'm curious about.
There were conversations. There were several conversations. Let's say that. but he knew it was a great opportunity for me at the end of the day and that I had contributed a lot to his studio, his company already. It was just kind of a good time with what they were looking for and what I was looking for. And I was going to say, too, it all started with, again, the power of just network and relationships I had made in the past. Because a former recruiter separate from the recruiter that brought me to 72 and Sunny, a whole other person who I became friends with during my time at 72 called me those 5 or 6, whatever many years later and said, hey, there's an opportunity at Mother LA you might be great for. And then that's where that started and where where it went.
Love it. Love it. So I guess that leads us, you know, you were at Mother. You're head of mothering, that's your account service sector. Mm-hmm. And now today you're at Echo. So come full circle.
Yeah, you kind of make me realize how much of my career has been built around the relationships I've created from one role to the next, even starting with my very first job. So
absolutely.
Honestly, yeah. When I was at Mother, I didn't have any plans to leave. But when the CEO of 72 and Sunny calls you, you definitely take that call and hear what she has to say. And, we're Evan Shu is the CEO of 72 and Sunny. And, you know, I had the pleasure of learning from her in my early days at 72. So we stayed in touch, and she let me know that Echo was looking for some new leadership and taking it into a new direction. And she felt like I was a good fit for it. And I agreed with her.
Nice.
And so here we are today.
Well, and you said it. I mean, it makes sense. It's all about connections, and account side of this industry is all about relationships, relationships with the clients, mm-hmm. with your internal teams, with vendors, with studios, with its relationships.
With
so
no, as well.
With who else?
With peers as well.
True that.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense. If you're good at relationships, you'll be good at your role, and you'll be good at, and you'll keep leveling up and get to better and better places. Mm-hmm. So what is your vision now? Remind me, what are you going to do with that show that is going to be insane?
So where we've shifted, where previously Echo was primarily a conduit for 72 and Sunny and their production needs, we've really shifted that model, and we're working much more with brands. So about 70 to 80% of the work that we're doing is brand direct, not nice. Via 72 and Sunny. We definitely still do work with 72 and exciting Naturally. Work with clients, and we're kind You're of great. Expanding those relationships. But we have far more that are direct with other entities at this stage. So that's been really exciting. We have some new work coming out in the coming months with brands like Rent the Runway, who's never done a brand campaign before, and that mm-hmm. you know is something that'll be launching later this summer. Capital One, we're doing some great work with Google, Nike. Trying to think, United Airlines as well.
These are some huge clients.
They're huge clients, yeah. So it's exciting for us.
Who's gonna, what entry level role? I mean, not even entry level. What are roles there, and how do we get good enough to work at a studio like Echo? People listening might have caught their attention in the beginning. So now I just really want to focus on our listeners. Yeah. How can they get hired? What are the roles?
Yeah. So we've got a few departments. Primarily, we're broken up into our creative department, our production team, and then also our post team. We also have some key business leads who are essentially like account people for the projects that are more long term. But we love makers. When it comes to creativity, we love people that love to edit, love to create, love to shoot, love to write, love to do all those creative things. And you don't need to be a copywriter, and you certainly don't need to be an art director, but what you do need to have is like a creative eye and a talent that is applicable to the work that we do.
So what are you looking for then? Are you looking for samples of work when you're hiring somebody? And I'm sure you're in those conversations if it's somebody important. What do those conversations sound like from the other side?
Well, I mean, in terms of what we look at and look for, it's websites, portfolios, and even Instagrams. Like, I follow a ton of creative people on their Instagram accounts that I don't even, the makers and directors, cinematographers, all sorts of people, I follow their Instagrams. I don't actually go to their websites too often because generally speaking, that content is consistently refreshed on Instagram. Right. Or at least you have a sense of their point of view, even if they're not always putting up new work. So I would say my advice is to find whatever platform makes sense for you to express your creative point of view and any work that you have done or are currently doing, even if it's not paid work.
Yeah, I think a lot of our student listeners think that they need to have real experience, whether that's through an internship or like a classroom project. And I don't necessarily even think like classroom projects facilitate the most creative work at most universities. Not no slight, you have to get it, you know, get your degree, do your thing. But I think if you go on your own and create a project or create work that you think is interesting, spec work or creative, like award show briefs or reaching out to people that you find interesting, I think that might be a better opportunity than just waiting for like an internship just to get like coupon ads on your book.
I mean, honestly, like try to just create, it doesn't mean go out and shoot a 30 seconds film, but it does mean to Google what it looks like to create a creative deck presentation, a creative advertising presentation. Try to recreate that for a product that you admire. And other than that, just keep looking for any ways into, whether it's Echo or any other studio, where there's any entry level role or any role where you think you can be, you know, an attribute, and apply for it. It doesn't, my husband, for example, he loves to say he started off in the trafficking department at Crispin at CPB. Nice. And now he's a chief creative officer because he got into Crispin. Then he asked the CDs at that time, you know, what can I want to write, I think. And they're like, okay, here's some briefs. And then
there you go.
On his off time. So it takes some manipulation of the network, of the system, frankly.
Yeah, got to work it. Yeah, love it. And for Echo, can people reach out to you, or is there somebody that you recommend, you know, to learn more about Echo itself?
Yeah, I mean, our website, my LinkedIn, I'm actually pretty active on LinkedIn. So I'd say that would be the best way to kind of connect with me for sure.
Cool. And that will be all. I have no more questions. So if people reach out to you, do it through LinkedIn. So I will have that link in our profile on our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod, all one word. And you can connect with Celeste. Celeste, fantastic episode. Thank you so much for coming on.
For having me. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Did you hear anything on this episode about a job you'd like to have someday soon in advertising, strategy, design? The kind of job where you use your brain and your creativity? If you did, chances are a portfolio can really help you get that job. That's where Chicago Portfolio School comes in. They have programs and classes that help you show off your thinking and get you the job you want. So visit them at chicagoportfolio.com. And if you drop my name, Gino, into the chat box, they'll send you more info and a cool Sharpie. Or just some more info. You can decide that. Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this entire episode of the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast. If you like what you heard, it would mean a lot to us and help us grow and get better guests, better break-ins, if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave us 5 stars and a small review if you have the time. Be sure to connect with our guests if you like what they said by going to our Instagram at Breaking and Entering Pod. That's all one word, Breaking and Entering Pod on Instagram. We have links to their portfolios and their LinkedIn. They want to connect, so do that. And thank yous. Thank you to Mikey Malarkey, our audio engineer, and Buchan Zhang, our creative director. Can't do it without you two, and a team from the University of Illinois. It's a student team from the agency called AdBuzz, their PR agency, and it's been a pleasure working with them. Thank you all so much, and we will see you next week with another amazing guest.